Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap, where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Motorcycle Samurai. A coming-of-age indie movie, but with vignettes straight out of the Odyssey.
So I had an idea. It was, I don't know if I've told you about it before, but Motorcycle Samurai.
Yeah, you told me. You mentioned Motorcycle Samurai. But frankly, it kind of begins and ends with that. Yeah. Just say it's like something you wake up in a cold sweat at night and he's like, Alec, Motorcycle Samurai.
You're like, I love it. What is it? I don't know yet, but it's awesome. Yeah.
I feel like you have explained it to me, but I forget stuff, so...
And I'll get into details in a second. Basically, it's about... The moral of the story is a man sort of learns that the whole lone wanderer, cool guy persona is not as long-term emotionally healthy as he wants it to be. And so, I suppose the way it would go is some young adult... male really looks up to this just like, you know, stereotypical cool guy, and the reason, yes, exactly, and the reason I call it my motorcycle samurai idea is because I want the cool guy he looks up to ride a motorcycle and have a samurai sword, not necessarily like the long katana, but like the short sword, you know, the tato or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And it would really be a coming-of-age movie. And I kind of want it to be like the main character, is now middle-aged, telling his kids about the cool guy and how, like, I chose to have you kids instead of continue just roaming the country with him. But without really condemning that other lifestyle, just saying it's not for everyone. Like, it is not perfect in that everyone would enjoy it, you know? So, like, the other guy, the motorcycle samurai, continues to be a motorcycle samurai.
All right, motorcycle samurai. I like to think he's still out there, samuraiing on his motorcycle.
And then you cut to just, like, a wreck. And it's like, should have worn a helmet.
Right, okay. Okay. I think it needs more.
I mean, obviously, we're here for.
Right, yeah. Because right now, all I'm picturing is, like... This kid works at a gas station and a cool dude comes up and he's like, hop on, kid. And he's like, yeah. And he just hugs his back and he takes him to, like, I don't know, middle of nowhere in Wisconsin or whatever. And he's like, this isn't what I thought it'd be. And he's like, you jumped on a strange man's motorcycle. What?
Well,
this is...
What I figured was, you know, when you're in middle school, you really look up to the kids in, like, high school. And when you're in high school, you really look up to the people in college. And then when you're in college, you're an idiot and you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Well, you're always an idiot. Everybody's an idiot. Nobody knows anything. But
no, yeah, pretty much.
What I'm sort of picturing is main character sees someone's sibling or cousin or something who's in high school and he doesn't have a car. He has a motorcycle, and that's awesome.
That is
and then he, like, only sees him once or twice, but he sees him, you know, living this aesthetically awesome lifestyle. And so when he gets into high school, he's been trying to sort of live like this guy. And then he suddenly finds him again, and then they go on, like, you know, the whole coming of age. It's nemesis of the indie road trip movie. Yeah, indie rock. Coming of age story of, like, she rocked my world, but, like, I couldn't tie her down. It's, and, you know, maybe we code it to be a little gay. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't, some people who watch it will.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yes. I'd rather have control over them. So we already know the rough, protagonist and deuteragonist, and we already kind of know the inciting incident and where we're going with it. So, we can just jump right in.
Okay.
The question is, do you think it would make sense for Motorcycle Samurai himself to be a sibling or cousin of someone that our protagonist knows, or not? Or do you think he should just be some guy who, like, is man about town? You know what I mean?
I don't know. To have that tangential association, I don't think that's harmful or anything. I think it makes sense. It's like, he graduated, he left. We see him once a year when he's on his way back from one end to the coast and passes through on the other, to the other side.
Very cool. Okay, here we go. Cool aesthetic world building, which we need a lot of for right. this movie, ironically. Motorcycle Samurai, he had a brother who was casual acquaintances with protagonist. Motorcycle Samurai's brother, who went to the same school, is obsessed with, like, Japanese history, maybe. And so, Motorcycle Samurai, Mr. Motorcycle, is like, yeah, my
Motorcycle-san?
Motorcycle-san. Moto-san. Motorcycle-san.
Senpai.
Motorcycle Senpai is, like, not, like, great friends with his brother or his little brother's friend. But, like, he's, you know, that cool, far-off, distant, like, we idolize him because he's not that great of friends with us. And then little brother dies somehow. But the little brother is obsessed. Here, let me finish. That's a little abrupt. But little brother is obsessed with Japanese history,
okay.
specifically samurai stuff. And then Motorcycle Samurai, like, goes off. And, like, from a romanticized kind of view, for him to, like, disappear and, like, deal with it by himself, that's really cool. He, like, goes off to Japan and, like, has a motorcycle trip across Japan, and he comes back with a real sword. That makes him so cool. And we can learn later in the movie, that's not healthy at all.
No.
To leave your family and to, like, take up what your little brother thought was cool and, like, integrate it into your persona. How's that?
I actually really like that, yeah.
This is already really weird, yeah. but really cool. So, that happens, and I'm going to use the formula how we went through middle and high school. Middle school is, like, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and you go from middle to high school when you're about, like, 15, 14-ish.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, elementary schools go up through 6th grade, and high school is 7th and 8th grade. I think that's still kind of... I'm sorry, middle school is 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, junior high
yeah.
is the 7th, 8th grade, I've
heard. It's weird. I don't understand how anybody splits anything up.
But anyway. Uh-huh. So sometime between junior high / middle school and high school is when the bro passes away, and the protagonist is not necessarily, like, distraught or torn up about it, but he's put in a spot where he's like, that's very real. And rather than to cope with it and work through it, I'm going to use that as character motivation. He's, like, seeing himself as, like, a character in a book or a movie. And he's sort of at odds with these two halves of himself, of being a human and acknowledging the sort of situation, the hand he's been dealt as a person in America. We're mm-hmm. just going to make this an American high school kid.
All right.
And, you know, this ideal that, ironically... movies and TV tell you is cool to be. And so, Motorcycle Samurai-san, Senpai, Jeeves, that's terrible.
Yeah.
He comes back from his tour. That would be really cool. We know all of the kid who dies. His brother's friends all are getting their driver's licenses right now, and they're all getting cars. They're so cool. But the coolest of cool, the king of cool, is Motorcycle Senpai. Because he's got a motorcycle. Whoa. And then his brother died. And then the summer before sophomore year, or, like, we didn't see him for, like, almost a year or a year and a half or some indeterminate amount of time. And when he came back, he was dripped out in just cool accessories and stuff from far off lands. He lived with the natives of wherever. And he, like, talks to people. He, like, knows a little bit of a lot of languages. He's Mr. Cool. And our protagonist is getting his driver's license. And he's already knows how to drive a motorcycle. And so we're kind of at a spot where I don't want to commit to any one thing because I feel like we're going to miss out on a lot of potential.
Fair enough.
But we can choose plot points to sort of culminate in character transformation moments where he gets his driver's license, he gets his motorcycle... or buys his own, and he meets Motorcycle Senpai again. He goes off with Motorcycle Senpai on the trip.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, that makes sense. That works for the plot. Okay, I was gonna say, like, but what's the... That feels like where the story begins, because obviously that's where the actual journey begins. I was gonna say, what is the inciting incident? But the inciting incident is the return of this, like, mythical figure.
Yeah.
He's very much a call to adventure.
100%. Yeah. So what... yeah, okay. What is missing that convinces him? We've already got the plot point of the inciting incident is indeed Motorcycle Senpai coming back. But what is the incentive for that main character to be like, I have to find myself on a road trip? You know? You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay, then he gets his motorcycle first, and he's riding around town. He's like, this is it. I got it. I got it figured out. I got everything. And then he runs into this guy again, who's just like, it's like, dude, you got your first motorcycle. Nice. Here's a tattoo that I got. It means I'm a legend and you're a wuss.
Yeah. This is awesome.
In Urdu. I got the same thing on this arm in Japanese. Yeah.
Yo, this movie is so cool already. I love it. What would really underscore, what would really accentuate that moment is he buys his motorcycle and, you know, learning to ride his motorcycle was like a process, so it was gradual and it didn't have that impact of like, damn, now I'm cool. Uh-huh. Like, suddenly, all at once. But when he buys his motorcycle, he was expecting that. And he's got that, like, we have like a montage of him like, yeah, I own my own motorcycle. Now I am Mr. Cool. And uh-huh. While obviously riding a motorcycle and owning one does make you cool, he doesn't feel it. So he's like riding around town and all he can help but feel and think is everything is kind of the same. And like, sure, I might be cool in everyone else's eyes, but I don't feel cool every living, breathing moment. So, damn, I just don't really know. And who does he run into but Motorcycle Senpai? He's back!
He's back.
And he's like, yo, that's awesome. And it could be a little more like a
prop. You know, he's got this sick custom... I would assume it's a Japanese bike, just because he's got the whole Japanophile thing going.
Yeah. He's gonna be friggin' Samurai Jack in that last season at the beginning.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
That was awesome. So, it can be like a gradual thing where he runs into him. He's like, yo, it's you! You're back! You're like the paragon of cool in my eyes. And then they like grab a drink, and then that's like the beginning of it. He's like, what, you don't drink? You're not a baby, are you? And he's like, well, no, I mean... This is the age where like kids start do kind of sipping, and so they go out for a beer or something. And he's like, I do not like this, and he's like, well, I'm not gonna make you drink it because I'm cool. Making people do things they don't want to do is not cool. And he's like, oh, cool. What should I do? I want to like now that I'm a little bit tipsy, I want to open up and be like, I don't feel cool, man. He's like, well, in the grand cosmic sense of things, there things come and go, but you want something. You want something to accentuate today, right? You want something forever. You want a forever. He's like, yes, I want something forever. He's like, yeah. A tattoo. And so they go and he gets his first tattoo. And he's like, I'm becoming cool.
You sound like Matthew McConaughey Senpai.
Man, Matthew McConaughey Senpai. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
If we hadn't had this whole discussion leading up to that moment, if anyone had ever said Matthew McConaughey Senpai to my face, I would have clocked him in the jaw.
I say a lot of things I wouldn't normally say to you because I don't think you're going to interrupt the podcast to hit me.
One of these days, the podcast is going to be like 6 hours long because we just fought halfway through and then we just never turned it off.
I like that.
Apologize. No. Good. Okay. So we've got Matthew McConaughey and a blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
Getting blank piece of paper's first tattoo as the sort of making the inciting incident more of like a scene rather than a moment.
Uh-huh.
So
I'm sort of distinguishing the inciting incident from the point of no return.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, okay. So I want the sort of framing device to be Princess Bride style. You know, it is the future, and we've got a middle-aged dude talking to his own kid, and the kid just came back from home from school, and he wants to do something. He wants to spend money or something like that.
Right.
On something obviously stupid and reckless to feel cool. And then his dad is like, you know, that dude who told you to do that reminds me of someone I knew once. He's like, who? He's like, it was me, or whatever. But he starts telling the story about... And the moral of the story is not, don't do stuff that's dumb. It's do it and learn from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because basically it's a coming of age thing. The whole point is know thyself mm-hmm. when it comes to coming of age stories.
Yeah. I feel like there's something else to be said here. I can't remember who said anyone can learn from their mistakes. The trick is learning from somebody else's.
Ooh, snap. Yeah. Cool. That's cool.
Thank you. That's cool.
That's cool. Okay. Now that we've been down, what's cool? So we've got the framing device scene. It's not very long. It's a single scene that's just like, once upon a time, and then the book opens. We've got, what's the first... I guess, since it is narration, we can afford to have the first scene of the story being told not be too, like, symbolically in your face. It's him, during middle school, chilling with his bud. And then his bud comes and picks him up, and he's like, oh yeah, doesn't your brother have a driver's license now? Yeah. How old are we? We're supposed to be like 12 or 13. I don't know why we sound like this. And he comes, picks him up on a motorcycle, and everyone is just floored by how cool he is. Mr. Leather Jacket comes up, takes off, and then I really don't know how to deliver. Oh, and then my buddy died of something smoothly. But we've already committed to it. So
that's how... true. I don't know. Pulmonary embolism. Well, TT flyby.
It doesn't matter too much about what happens to him. It's how we sort of deliver it. Because we can't just smash cut to dead dude.
Yeah, he can't just die in a motorcycle crash, can he?
No, he cannot.
That feels like missing the point.
That would be the worst. It was like, and then he died trying to drive a motorcycle, which we're going to gloss over the grander meaning of that.
Right.
I
mean, he can already be sick.
Him already being sick would be a pretty solid, because that would be a little easier to ease into him, you know, dying so young.
Yeah.
And also, that could also sort of serve as Motorcycle Senpai's not quite what makes him want to be so cool, but that does play a role. You're in a very transformative moment of your life, and you want to be, you know, this inspiring greater than everything for your terminally ill younger bro.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want to give him a good ride while he's still here on Earth, bro. I need to be the paragon of awesomeness. And then
you spin out a little bit, because
yeah.
Because your little brother died. That would really mess you up.
That would mess anybody. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Of course you do something unhealthy to cope, like travel around the world and no job it.
Yeah. And there we go. No jobbing it. That is what, like, starts convincing the main character. He's like, bro, no, I want to have a job. I want stability and, you know, rather than, like, making it work and being independent and roughing it.
Yeah.
But that's second half.
Yeah, these guys... Okay, yeah. So it's like this guy, he does, like, odd jobs on the road. And maybe stuff that's a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
A little sketchy. I think it's like...
Weed, not crack.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're gonna take this bag across town, across town for these guys. What's in the bag? I didn't ask, neither should you.
Exactly. It's, you know, stuff that is not, like, morally reprehensible, but, like...
It's, like, again, no job. Need money. Don't ask too many questions.
Precisely. I like the... When I said weed, no crack, I didn't mean, like, they smoke weed and they don't do crack. I mean, like, they sell it. And the point is, I'm not judging anybody who does partake in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just most definitely not for me, is the sort of realization that the guy comes to. He's like,
yeah,
motorcycle. What he learns, what the good part of what he learns is, oh, I shouldn't judge people. Not necessarily at all, but like, I should judge less, you know? People, I went on this journey of self-discovery, and I found there are all people from all sorts of walks of life, blah, 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 all that.
Yeah.
And Matthew McConaughey, it's a McConaissance.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. We're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
So that first scene, all right, son, let me sit you down and tell you what I was like when I was your age and wanted to be cool. My friend who was terminally ill, we knew he was dying, so don't be surprised when that happens only mm-hmm. one or two scenes later. His older brother got a motorcycle as his first vehicle, and it was awesome. And then, as time went on, we tried more and more to be like him. He passed away, and then I didn't talk to his family for a long time because he just sort of disappeared. And then the narration sort of tapers off, and then we get more into, rather than, and this was happening, and this was happening, and that was happening, we just see it happening.
Yeah.
And so, we have... What is something... Well, we don't have to explain too much about the daily life of his, like, job and what he's doing to save up money. But how about, like, he's, like, a mechanic or something that, like, old school cool. He's like, oh, I gotta go work at the auto shop after school. And, like, all of his friends are like, well, damn, I don't know anything about cars. That makes you pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's been saving up to buy his first motorcycle. And he is... I want to make him older than 16 because going on... Because leaving home at 16 is, like... I want him to be legally an adult, basically. Right. Because him leaving home is his choice without legal repercussion for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, my son ran away from home. And it was like, well, he's an adult. So it's more like he left home. Anyway. So he is 17... And maybe he has a car, maybe he doesn't. But the point is...
He can drive.
Yes. He can already drive.
Yeah.
And so he gets his first motorcycle, runs into who but McConaughey-senpai. And then they meet up for a drink, or maybe they part ways immediately. But the thing is, I want him to, like, sit down and talk. Oh, wait, I got it. Holy. I was going to say, I want him to sit down and talk with his mom or maybe his dad. Here we go. He talks with both. He sits down with his mom and he's like, yeah, he invited me out later tonight. So is it all right if I do that? And his mom is like, what, are you kidding me? No way. Like, he's bad news. He left and was unhealthy, blah, blah, blah. And his dad sees exactly what's going on, you know? And he's like, oh, my boy's got to go on that journey of self-discovery. So he's like, all right, don't do anything stupid. Now go forth and have your vision quest, my son. And so he goes
out. Here's some peyote.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is bringing a tear to my eye. This is such a good movie.
It's fun.
This is so good. And so he sits down with his mom. And his mom doesn't necessarily... Like, Easy Rider, but
without the pointless dying.
Yeah. So that's good. He goes out, they have a drink, and then... his mom is like, no drinking. And his dad is like, no drinking, wink. No drinking, wink. And they go out, they have a beer, and he's like, this sucks, bro. And he's like, yeah, it kind of does. And then he's like, I want to accentuate this moment, not in what actually happened, but in my mind, the paragon of what I think this moment should have been like, so that I can romanticize it later in life, you know? Yeah. And then he's like, you need a tattoo. And then they go up and they get his first tattoo. And then he sort of talks him into his, maybe his first, maybe his second, maybe his third. Or, you know, the point is, he's like, let's go on a road trip. And he's like, all right. And then they set out. And that's sort of the end of the point of no return.
Right. Yeah. Sequence. Right. I think it is something that functions a little better might be, like, I'm heading to California. Like, I do it every year. I go to, he's just somebody has this big party. I always make it, catch up with some old friends. And he's like, so, I'll see ya. Actually, you know what? You should come with me. Why don't you?
Ooh, yeah. That's cool.
Come with me. It'd be great.
Yeah. This is really awesome. I was gonna say, where do they go next? Like, there's no... we need some sort of driving force. No, he has no driving force. He is... No. Mr. Cool, he goes where the wind takes him.
This isn't a push, this is a pull.
Yeah. So I suppose we should structure it somehow, and this is looking more and more like a four-act structure than three. Well, so that is the end of Act 1, is... there's sort of... The point of no return is... Like, I'm going on this motorcycle trip, and then he, like, says goodbye to his fam, and his dad is like, come back safe. That's all that matters. Like, you can come back changed, you can come back Mr. Cool, or you can come back the exact same. What matters is you are physically, emotionally safe.
Right.
And his mom is like, boys are dumb! And she is right.
Yeah. This is true.
We are dumb as hell, bro. It's important for young men to do stuff that is maybe seen as reckless and stupid, but what's most important is that they are safe, and that on the other side, they realize how reckless and stupid that stuff was. So, since we're still in the first half, we can afford to keep the Aristotelian curve going up, not just in drama, but in, like, mood, you know, we keep on improving, we're getting happier and less problematic. What is the first sort of series of stops or first major stop we make on our cross-country motorcycle trip?
What do you stop at cross-country motorcycle trips? If the movies are to be believed, hippie communes. They're around. Let's see. Restaurants, truck stops, dirt on the side of the road. Sleep by the campfire.
I think this is just a matter of writer's room rather than, like, this is a lot more sitting down and being like, is this cool? Hell yeah, it is. Rather than us talking about, like, what's, you know, the platonic ideals of symbolism and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's him, it's half, I got it. It's half McConaughey-senpai talking about where he's been, what he's done in America and in Japan. And he's like, oh, where I got this blade. And he's like, I'm saving that story. But he's telling these stories. It's pretty much like a vignette bit for the middle, like, third. Where he's saying, yeah, I knew these guys. Have you seen My Dinner with Andre? I've met these people out in the woods and we did some really cool stuff. We did shrooms and and all this other. And then you, the viewer, are like, that's so cool. And main character, San, is like, that's so cool. And then they get into some, not some trouble, but they, like, meet some people and, like, they have a pretty good time. But main character is, like, a little underwhelmed. He's like, that was fun, but it wasn't, like, in the stories, you know what I mean? And then the realization that we come to by the end is, like, no, that is exactly what it's like in the stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the nuance. Like, the fact that you got, like, athlete's foot by walking around barefoot in the woods and getting all sweaty and stuff. Like, that's part of the story. It's just that there's this disparity between the romanticized version you get to tell people and what actually happened.
Yeah.
That's what being cool is. And that's the sort of realization he makes. So what's the midpoint? Well, no, like we said, it's vignettes.
It's vignettes.
And we should save the rest of the vignettes for after. What are you thinking? Are there any weak points in this idea so far?
I mean, I feel like the weak point is that it's hard to do this really well.
Yeah.
Mostly, we're just going to... If we shot it, we'd be kicking around in random places trying to make magic happen with some of it being garbage.
Yeah, very true. Easy Rider
Rider.
Two brothers just chilling out trying to recreate Easy Rider.
Yeah. I don't think we do enough drugs to pull that off, so. Because we don't do drugs.
Sober. I don't think we do enough. Any. Yeah. Drugs.
Sober Easy Rider.
Let's just eat a ton of nutmeg, write down our best idea, and die.
I don't think that's how the nutmeg thing works, but anyway.
So we're taking a break.
Oh, we are taking a break?
Yeah, we're gonna take our, halftime, what's the word? No. Intermission. We're gonna take our intermission, come up with the name, but I'm thinking Motorcycle Samurai does this justice.
That's pretty much, yeah.
And then names for a couple of the characters, and then maybe a vignette or two.
I think we owe it a vignette or two. We can model a thing or two after the Odyssey. Give the Odyssey a nice nod. Hi.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. The Odyssey. We're just that highbrow.
Oh.
All right. Cool.
The middle.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
Where do we go on the break, Eric?
Over there.
Oh.
The name we came up with for the movie is Motorcycle Samurai, because that's self-explanatory. Also, that's just a very attention-grabbing kind of title. If I just saw a movie called Motorcycle Samurai, I would be like, yo, that's like we said, the last season, first episode of Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome. And then you see it's like an indie movie where a guy's hanging out, and I'm like, wow, this is probably gonna be really boring.
Already paid for a ticket, so.
Yeah, it's too late.
Yeah. We named our protagonist Odie because it's like short for Odysseus and on the journey. It's not necessarily short for Odysseus, but it's a little homage. And also, it sounds so small town and goofy and approachable.
My name isn't Very Otis, Mom. Man. It's Odie. Call me Odie.
Odie.
And then there's Pete. Motorcycle Samurai. Senpai is named Pete after Peter Fonda in Easy Rider.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Cool.
He was Mr. Cool.
Oh, you've got the jacket.
Yes, right I do. There. I got my Captain America jacket.
I never
Not, saw. It's a Captain America, the character in Easy Rider. You should watch that movie if you're a movie person. It's a good movie.
So, where we left off, we were in like the second third of it. We need vignettes. And you said it would be really cool if they got in a... What was it?
I said fighting with townies. You said bar fight. But where do townies go if not the bar?
Precisely.
So, I think you had a good instigation for it. It's just some dude being rude and says something about motorcycle samurai's mama.
Yeah.
And then he punches him. And then there's a scuffle and a kerfuffle. And Odie is trying to back his friend up. And he gets cut with a bottle. Not like really bad, but he gets cut. And he's like really shook up. And then Pete brings out his sword. He doesn't, like, he makes like he's about to bring it out. And then they just haul ass out of the bar.
Yeah, because like, holy crap, that guy's got a sword.
Yeah.
And should that be the first, or should that be,
I don't think that works well as the first. I think that works as sort of this recognition that this is not all fun and games.
Yeah.
Or that it's like, if you want to have all fun and games, there is a price to be paid here.
Yeah.
Like, you are, if you're a transient motorcycle cool guy, you are not as secure and you're not, like, as well protected by laws and crap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Just had another awesome realization for a plot point. Hang on, moving my microphone. That's risky. Okay. So that should be, I think, we'll do them in pairs. We'll do the first pair of Pete giving a cool speech story with a very romanticized way of it playing out in Odie's head. And then the second will be Pete and Odie actually going somewhere, actually doing something. And Odie being like, yeah, this was fun, but it wasn't cool. And then we'll have three of those pairs. So we'll go story, thing happens, story, thing happens, story, thing happens. And that will be like the middle second act, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, first story, I think, and what would be really cool is if these scenes played out, like, like paying homage to other directors. Like there's what is his name? You know who I'm thinking of.
Oh, Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah. These scenes play out like a Kurosawa one and then like a friggin' Quentin Tarantino one.
Oh, well, people would love to do that
kind of thing. That would be awesome. A director would have a ball doing that.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's a story about, you know, like going on a journey and trying to figure out who you are, that makes sense. You go through these varied situations and they're not only like a variety of experiences, but they're presented and remembered in a variety of different ways.
Exactly.
So I really like that. Okay.
And the first one, I think what would be really cool is the first story he tells is of like getting in a fight in like a Japanese bar. And that's like a Kurosawa one where there's like a standoff and he's like, and you know, in his mind, it's awesome and unobtrusive because romanticized. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what's that first scene that happens right after that? That could be something that sort of kind of messes with his perception of what cool is, or it could just be something kind of fun and kind of cool.
You know what? I think this movie is missing right now.
What's that?
For a road trip movie, but a couple of guys out in the world doing stuff is some pretty ladies. Is that it's just like some pretty ladies that they meet, and you know, Pete is Mr. Cool, so he's just like, hey there, how you doing? Not like being like, hey, I know you want me, just being like, hey there. In a way that very smooth people are like, you can tell that I think you're pretty, but I'm gonna let you do whatever you want with that.
Snaps for Mr. Cool. I really like that. Here's something that I have always thought was kind of like I've said this to you before. I don't think I've ever said it on a podcast. But I absolutely hate it when a movie tries to tell any living soul what to think about sexual relationships.
Yeah.
So I just leave it out of my movies completely because, like I said, regardless of how you portray it, either I agree with it or I don't. Regardless, I'm like, I don't like people telling other people what is good or bad about these kinds of things. Yeah. However, I'm about to do that.
Okay.
So Pete and Odie are at like the bar, and Pete is like being Mr. Charisma with one lady, and then like the other lady is like, hey, I'm kind of interested in you, Odie. And then she slowly starts talking more and more to Pete. Odie's like kind of feeling left out. He's like, oh, man, I wish I'm trying to pull out the moves here, but I don't know any moves. So I'm here. Do you like Yu-Gi-Oh cards? And she's talking more and more to Pete. And Odie is thinking like, oh, I'm losing her. And then what Pete is actually doing across the bar, inaudible to Odie, is hyping him up.
Oh.
And then he's like, hey, bud, you're about to have a three-way. And he's like, dude, no, I can't handle that. And he's like, I don't care. Just have fun. And then cut to, like, next morning, they both leave. And then, like, Pete knocks on the motel door or whatever. He's like, hey, how'd it go, bro? He's like, I failed to satisfy either of them or myself. And then he's like, yeah, I figured. But it was fun. And he's like, I mean, yeah, it was fun. So that way, we get sort of like the romanticized vision not living up to the real world scenario.
Yeah.
But also, what's she gonna do? It was fun kind of thing. Yeah. You know?
I don't know. I feel like there's kind of a nice touch there of like the girls leaving and giving him a little kiss on the head.
It's like, don't worry. Like,
not even high on my list of bad evenings. I don't know. That also sounds like a lot more like a crazy story that you have. It's like my buddy, best guy in the world, got these two girls to go in a hotel room with me. So nervous, so young, totally messed it up.
It's disillusioning without being a huge bummer.
Yeah.
There you go. So we have our first pair. The second pair, I think the real world thing should be the bar fight where he's like, it's not how I imagined, but I'm going to force myself to remember this not being a bummer kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, what is the samurai tale he hears before that? Very, very short, like, beginning, middle, and end thing for Pete to tell Odie that happened to him while he was in Japan. Or maybe he doesn't say where or what happened, but... Okay. The first one was the Kurosawa standoff.
Yeah.
The second one... I mean, if it's a Tarantino thing, then that's just going to be more violence. I want it to be something else. Something... Maybe he tells a story about, like, you know, finding femme fatale in somewhere.
Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty fun to hear about as a high school kid.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
He had legs. Leggy legs all the way up to where her legs stopped.
She had legs. Wow. Two of them. So, like, he goes to, like, a casino or something, and then they meet, and then he, like, a spurned or scorned ex-lover tries to, and then he, like, she's like, oh, you must abscond before my husband or whoever, and he's like, I thought, oh my, and then he jumps out of a window, and then, what I'm setting up here is at the end of the second act, he asks about a detail or something, and then he's like, well, like you said in that, like, Japanese casino, and then he's like, what? No, dude, that was in Vegas. He's like, oh, well, I'm sure it was awesome. And he's like, no. And it's, like, very disillusioning. He's like, elaborates on his stories. He's like, no, what we're doing here is accruing more stories. Like, I'm gonna tell people about the time that my boy Odie and I, like, almost got murked in a bar in, you know, Taos or whatever.
And two weeks earlier, how I knew he wasn't quite as confident in himself as he could be, so I helped him finesse a night with two beautiful ladies.
Indeed.
You're leaving out some key details, not to my mind.
Yeah, he's like, you're leaving out key details, and he's like, it's a story. Oh, that would, oh my gosh. That's how it can get really real really fast, is, he's like, you're leaving out... Like, you can't say it like that, Pete. You have to, like, you have to mention da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, why? He's like, because it's a buzzkill. And he's like, it's a story. And then there's that deafening silence of, oh my gosh, this is your life, isn't it? You know? It's like, you have, it's not that you don't have a place to belong. It's just, like, this is enough for you.
It's wherever I'm at.
Yeah, holy. Okay, we got pretty real there. Yeah. But what is that between... What is that last pair? I think it should be something... Should it be way over the top? That last one? I think it should be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like him spelunking. Oh, no. Okay, we're getting a little too much into danger. And, okay, yeah, I got it. He's like, that reminds me of the time I was at... You know, a slam poetry something or other. Or something about the arts. And he's like, and I'd never done it before. But I thought, why not? And then he stops the narration there. Pete, samurai. He stops the narration there. But what we see keep happening is like an unreliable narrator. It's like a twice over unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Because Pete just said, I tried slam poetry one time. But in Odie's mind, he's imagining... You know, Pete trying an instrument. He plays the harp perfectly without any sort of prior experience or rehearsal. And then, when they're talking about the stories, he's like, dude, I sucked Mongo dick on the harp. I got booed off stage in less than 2 minutes, you know? He's like, what? Then why'd you tell me that story? I don't know. I thought of it. Like, something reminded me of it, and I wanted to tell it. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. This is pretty solid. That last vignette, the second part of our third pair, I think should be setting up the opportunity for Odie to turn back. You know, not necessarily, like, give up and go home, but a chance to, like, not settle down, but settle down for the week or something. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, spending more than, like, two nights anywhere gives... Pete, like, the shakes, but Odie is like, I can't handle this, so we have to, and then they just straight up, like, book an Airbnb or something, and Odie starts having doubts about whether Pete is cool, at all, rather than, do I want to be what I think is cool, which is literally unattainable, blah, 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 rather than having that sort of coming to terms with anything, he's like, is Pete cool? And then Pete, like, is like, hey, I have some spices in my bag, I'm gonna make something, I guess, since we're gonna be here for so long, we might as well cook our own food. And then he, like, wows him, and he's like, this is freaking awesome. Yeah, I knew Pete was cool.
Yeah.
And what I want... Like,
I was a line cook for a couple of months.
There you go. And there... That could... Yes! And he doesn't have, like, a vision. There is no over-the-top romanticized visual to go along with it. It's just Pete and Odie. It's My Dinner with Andre, where Pete is like... Or where Odie is like, okay... elaborate who was there, and then he's actually getting all the details, and he's realizing, and that can be him telling a story about, and he's like, and then what happened, and then he's like, I left.
This terrible job, great people, 14, 16 hour days,
yeah,
6 or 7 days a week, you were lucky if you could get 5 or 6 hours of sleep. Usually kitchen staff would take you out and you'd party and actually be late for work.
Oh, man. Okay.
And all this stuff. And, like, telling the actual part of, like, it was pretty... It was great. It was also awful.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is so cool. Okay. I'm on a wave right now. Mm-hmm. And we do kind of have to wrap up because I got to pick Kate up from the airport. Mm-hmm. But since I'm on a wave, I'm on a movement. Mm-hmm. I want to just list off... This is the scene I came up with first when I first had the idea for Motorcycle Samurai. Is Odie meets someone, and I'm kind of picturing, you remember Zuko and Uncle Iroh meeting that Earth Kingdom family?
Uh-huh.
And then Iroh being like, why don't we stay? And then Zuko convincing him, like, no, we're stealing their ride and running away.
Right.
That kind of same standoff, except Odie is like, no, I'm staying. And Pete doesn't say, well, I'm leaving. He just is like, okay, you win. And he doesn't say anything. He's like, are you coming inside? And he's like, nah. And then Odie, like, that's them saying goodbye without actually, like, acknowledging that we're parting ways. It's
like,
he's like,
nah, you have
take
fun.
It easy. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, take it easy. And he's like, only way I know how. And then they part ways pretty much, not forever, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like him leaving the Tanto samurai sword. I don't know if it's actually called a Tanto or a Tanto. I got that from Far Cry 3.
Ah.
He leaves behind the short sword for Odie because he's all about being cool and symbolic gestures and stuff. And he's like, you didn't make it all the way, but you are Mr. Cool in my book kind of thing. Ah, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So I think...
I feel like that's... All right, so... And then as we move back to this flashback thing, he's like, he shows his kid the sword, and he's like, Dad, that's so cool. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
I know.
I know.
I yes, exactly. He's like, it's kind of cool. Yeah. rather than meeting a family...
Does that mean he told his kid about the threesome thing?
Okay, well, the kid has to be a little older that. Now. Yeah, we'll glance. Well, yeah, we'll sweep that one under. All
right, yeah.
Okay.
He's like 14, at least.
Exactly.
It's like, weird. That's not horrible.
Yeah. rather than like, Dad, I want to buy a sword. He's like, Dad, I want to get into crypto. Oh, God. Okay. So, rather than meeting an Earth Kingdom family, and it's like, here, why don't you stay the night? It's, they meet a girl who is like, oh yeah, I know how to do these things, or something, some sort of trigger buzzword, that they're both like, ah, so you're cool. And then they, like, get to know her, and then she's like, why don't you come back to my place? And then it turns out she has, like, a steady job, and she's put down roots wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Like, Odie is like, holy crap, you're the best of both worlds for me. Pete has, like, a panic attack. He's like, I am not staying the night here. Like, she reminds me of, like, who I could have been if I had, like, gone home to my family and never gone to Japan. And, you know, put down roots and been boring. And then Odie's like, dude, I want to be exactly that. You think I want... You're calling me boring. And then they have not quite a fight, but like a... It's like, well, okay, whatever.
Right, so
and then
this is where we part ways.
Exactly. And then we have the flash forward to present time. Old-ass dude. I mean, middle-aged dude with the Tanto. And he's like, this is the sword he left behind for me. And he's like, this is an ever-present reminder that, like...
Of the
wandering samurai who's a total badass, and I am not one.
That I chose to stay in one place.
Yeah. And I do like the idea of them sort of like meeting up again, you know? But I can't quite figure out how to factor that in a way that is both cool and wistful and meaningful, while also keeping the narrative focus on our protagonist, Odie, talking to his own son. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that there's something to be said of, like, 3 or 4 photos of them in the same place.
Mm.
Just, like, in the same place, in front of his house, in front of, like, I mean, it could be, like, the bar where they met at the beginning of the movie, or in front of the tattoo parlor from the beginning of the movie.
That would be really sick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay. If we get any more wistful, I'm gonna start feeling emotions.
It's wist-tastic.
It's wist-tastic, this one. This is a great one. I like this.
I like it. It's good.
This is fun.
Yeah.
I love this podcast.
It's so much fun to do the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well... that is the end of the plot points. I think this story is sufficiently tapped.
I would say so. I think we've tapped it for root beer and got our root beer out of it.
I would, if I had to say what just happened, I would say that the Pecci brothers just tapped a potential idea and turned it into a story.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Yeah.
So, the end?
Yeah, the end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.